This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back in on the drive. Carrington here, Fanning here, Kylie here. We're also joined by two of my favorite people in the world. Well, really one of my favorite people and her husband. Jennifer Huddler is here and Rex Huddler is here. How are you guys doing today?
Hey.
We're good. Glad to be here.
Hey, look.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I love Valentine's Day. But I told Jennifer, look, every day with her is Valentine's Day.
That's beautiful.
Come on. Believe it, man.
Are you buying that, Jennifer? I mean, because that's a hell of a line.
I'm lifting my feet.
Are you talking? People ask me, how's your off season? For me, it's been the best off season I've ever had in our 30 years of marriage.
It's been a great off season. That is the truth.
Why has it been great?
Little rest, a lot of love. Yeah,
and
it's been good.
And no caregiving for grandma and grandpa.
Okay, well, I wouldn't have gone there, but that's you.
Hey, there's the first kick.
Thanks a lot.
There's the first kick under the table.
Yeah.
But if you can't be honest, why not? I mean, we have our house back.
Okay, let's talk about something else.
You want to talk about the royal? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
I'll tell you a good story. So I sent my wife flowers at the hospital today at work.
She's a nurse.
She is.
That's
she's
right.
She's a neonatal nurse. It's a big hit. I was a big hit over at the hospital today.
Sure.
That's
you
one
are.
Of my love tips that I gave out this week. I think it's a great public display of affection without giving a public display of affection, right?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. So I was a big hit, huh? Did you do that by chance? Did you shoot some flowers out or anything today? Or?
Oh, no. But we've took care of the household. Household's taken care of.
He brought flowers home yesterday.
And what's the kind
Couple of
cake of I got too? Man,
today
it.
You got a bundt cake.
Bundt.
On a beautiful little glass plate and all prettied up with love. Ribbons
and, you know, and the
and
boys,
stuff.
You know, and she makes sure to get all the boys a little baggie with some candies and stuff.
Sure,
you know, she's always done that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but what was good, and I mentioned to her, maybe it was last night or this morning, you know, it's so nice that we don't have to supply Valentines for their kids' classrooms.
Yeah. I mean,
we got four kids. It was unbelievable. It was busy. Like, you know, we had to get all these Valentine's. See what you got, C-Dot, to look forward to, man?
You guys got four kids. I don't know if I want one of them. So I'm trying to stay as far away from doing all that as possible.
Nah, that's a fun thing. That's fun. It gets a little excessive with four, but it's fun.
That's a lot. I was telling C-Dot the other day that my wife and I and my stepson and his girlfriend went up to eat dinner, and I guess it was like kids eat free night. And there was a couple there that had four kids under the age of five.
Oh,
I just stared at them and like going, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I can't imagine. That's really fun. I mean, truthfully.
I think it's what you make it. Our four are spread out, and it worked for us.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. But, yeah, I can't imagine having any less now.
Yeah.
They're wonderful, and they're all different in their own way. And they're huge blessings. So, yeah, it's all about love there.
It looked awful to me. I got to be honest with you, Hud.
Well, four under five would be hard in a restaurant, no matter what.
You know what? It's a lot. Hey, we just traveled. You know, we traveled a little bit, and seeing the moms and dads in the airport brought back a lot of memories. Having a special needs child like we do.
Sure.
Cade was a little boy, and we were, you know, we had the other ones, and they're all young. And we're in Philadelphia. No, where were we? We're in Philly. What was the airport that was so busy? Dallas, Texas? Was it Texas?
No, it took us 4 days to get to Ohio.
We had a little Christmas trip.
We ended up in Dallas 2 days. Then they sent us to Philadelphia.
And right now, can't see. Big old storm blew in.
Yeah.
You know, we got stranded. And then Cade, all of a sudden, we're looking around. We have all these strollers and these carry-on bags. And where's Cade? And I'm like,
it's like the movie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a busy airport at Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'm walking down the aisles with a pretty brisk pace. And, you know, a lot of people waiting for their planes there don't have anything to do. And they're watching. It's a great place to watch people.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're looking at me and they go, he went that way. Because they can see the look on your face.
Sure,
you can
know.
See a parent. When a parent is panic and he's like, you know, like, where's my son? They can tell. And they said he went that way. So it was all the way at the other end of the terminal.
Oh, my goodness.
And I found him.
Yeah.
And he's hanging out. And so I remember those days. Those were a lot of stressful moments when you're traveling with all of them.
Yeah, that's for sure. That one actually was good though. We had just enough clothes in our like little backpacks and diapers, and we made it. We went to the hotel gift shop and bought T-shirts to sleep in, and so
that's fun though.
You get stories out of it now, right?
Yeah, it's a great memory.
Right now, we're talking to Rex and Jennifer Hudler for the 4 o'clock hour. So yesterday, I saw Hud. First time I've seen him all new year. I saw you one time in 2019. So, and he said, it'll be 30 this year for me and the missus. As somebody who's been married for 29 years, what is your number one key?
Well, this year, 2019, it'll be 31. So I think the key is to probably listen carefully and take time to spend time together without the kids and without talking about the kids when you go out, and you know, really just making time for yourselves, because we didn't do that for years and it made it really hard. So when we carve out time for ourselves now, we try, you know, not to discuss the kids. I mean, our kids are awesome, we love them, but you know, there's always things you have to talk about, and then that leads into a discussion, and then maybe then you get angry, and it just, it's like leave business and leave everything at home and just concentrate on one another. And I think that's what we do. We try to be better listeners when we get those opportunities, and when, you know, we have a request or a need or whatever, and we don't fight about it, I guess, instead of like we used to when we were younger.
Like in my year and a half of marriage, it's so funny how you'll go like 3, 4, 5 weeks and we look at each other like, we haven't had a date night in a while. Because you kind of just get into that mode, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's important to take that time. That's at least what I've learned. I think that's great advice. And the listening part's good. How's Hud do with the listening thing?
Well, we're still working on that.
Still a work in progress.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe the next 30.
Believe it. But, you know, sorry, I'm a talker. Okay, that's what I do. But it's gotten better. I find, you know, honesty, standing up, being transparent, I think all those things really helps a lot too. Because there was a while when I was still playing ball when we were married. We got married at 28. I retired at 38. So we had 10 years of when I was a ball player. And there were times when, you know, when I'd go on the road and she'd go, you know, just a little uneasy. You know, you're young and you know, you're on the road with all these guys and the, you know, girls and stuff. And so I don't want to call me when you get in at night. I want to know where you are.
Sure.
So that was good. We went for a while, and then once I retired and everything, and I've gone on in the broadcast now another almost 20 years, she doesn't call me anymore. She doesn't worry. I don't have to call her and say, hey, honey, I'm home.
Now I have find my friends.
So that's right. The app has changed. The cell phone's changed everything.
Yeah.
But no, it's
360.
You know, I think being transparent is very important.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. How do you guys find the time throughout the course of the season? Because you got 4 kids. His job is just different than most people's job. If he'll be gone for 10, 11 days at a time, how whenever he comes home, and he works basically every night for a 6-month span, how do you guys make the time? How do you do that during the season as opposed to now? It's a lot easier because he's home a lot more.
Right. Well, during the season, the kids, you know, they'll go off to school and work and things. So we have our mornings together until he leaves around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll go out for a nice lunch or just sit out on the patio and have lunch. And so we think we're really blessed with being able to carve out that time. I mean, we definitely have a different schedule, you know, during the year. We don't go to bed till maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, he gets home from work, he's got to wind down. And so then the kids, you know, the kids become priority number one for him especially, and he gets up early with them at 6 a.m. to fix them breakfast and get them off to school, and then we have time. And
well, you know,
our clock shifts in the winter, but, you know, we make time.
30 years, wow. Okay, so it was a lot different when I was a player. She'd come on the road with me. I took her everywhere because I wanted her to see, and I knew, you know, one thing's guaranteed a ball player, C-Dot, you'll be an ex-ball player. I knew my time, and I wasn't that good. I knew each year could be my last. So, hey, honey, why don't you come with me? Let me show you what the big league life's like. Let's go to Chicago. I took her everywhere because I knew one of these days we would have children. And then that would restrict her from coming on to a lot of the road trips because, you know, you can't just pick up and go all the time. So sure enough, we bonded our relationship for the first 7 years of it. Just her and I got to know who she was. We got to, you know, experience stuff together, which is great. We traveled. We did all that. And then we were ready. Now, we were older parents because we waited, But still, we were more mature. We waited. We were ready for kids. Now, four, I wasn't ready for four, but we had them. And so now it's been so much different. When they were young, yeah. It was different. Now they're 2 years away from being an empty nester. We are.
Yeah.
And so
two or three.
It's a different stages that go on now. But I don't get any time during the season with my boys. Alyssa's already out of the nest. She's been gone for several years now. So it's I don't have time with them. Unless I wait and I pick them up from school at 3 o'clock. Of course, now they're driving. That's going to change too.
Yeah.
And then I get 15 minutes with them in the car, you know. And then in the mornings I make breakfast. When I get up, and then I go back to bed. So there, you know, you have to be a good husband and to be a good father. It takes work.
Yeah.
Anybody can be a father or a husband, but to be a good one, you got to forget about your time a little bit. You got to spread out and. Especially with kids, I want my wife, when they're gone, I don't want her to say, you know what, it'd been nice if you'd have helped. You know, it'd been nice if you'd have been around once in a while. And even in the off season, you know. Yeah. But I have made a point to be there for her and my kids. So my kids love me, number one, and they know Dad tried. And number two, she doesn't kick me in the behind when they're all gone.
You don't want to be kicked in the behind.
No, even though it's big, it's an easy target.
Yeah. But during the season, he really doesn't have much time with them. So that's a huge priority for him. He'll get up early and, you know, spend about 30 minutes, really, not now, because they push getting out of bed.
Sure.
But 15 to 30 minutes in the morning is all he gets now.
And it's so crazy, too. Like, you think that they're little kids, and then all of a sudden you look at a picture from, like, 2 years ago, and they're a completely different individual. And then you're like, holy smokes, we have... You know, maybe a year and a half, you know, depending on where you are with it really is funny how fast it goes too, right?
Yeah, exactly. It does.
See, Dot, but seriously, I'm in love with her today more than I've been with her, in love with her way back when.
Does he say this stuff too, when there's not a microphone in front of his face? That's what I want to know.
He does, you know, he cuddles more
that's
than
the truth,
he used
man.
To.
The heck?
And
I miss her.
You know, he goes to a meeting or something and rushes back home or rushes back to the hotel room. We have a much better relationship now. And I think it's because we're getting older and we have more time together and we're not as stressed about the kids and their schedules. You know, they're so self-sufficient and awesome kids. And so I think that's probably one reason why. And I mean, you know, it's been 34 years or so. We shouldn't get along better, I think.
Right now we're talking to Rex and Jennifer Hudler. We'll take a break. Mrs. Hudler, one thing I have noticed about Hud over the last 2 years, he has talked to me less and less about the Royals and then more and more about one of your sons playing baseball. I want to get your thoughts on it coming up. It's The Drive.
All right.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
We are very happy to be joined by our guest right now in studio for the 4 o'clock hour. Hud asked, are we going to play his game? Yes, every time you're in studio, we play the Hud is Right.
Yeah, but
that's
man,
what we do.
You guys know it's a little embarrassing when you bring up my numbers, man. Look, no one in my has ever asked me, in my you know, out here in Kansas City especially, or really anywhere that I can remember, what were your numbers like, Hud? Thank God they haven't asked.
You know, the biggest thing.
Then now you expose them. Now you bring them up.
The biggest thing I learned when we looked at your numbers, Hud, I thought you would have got drilled a lot more than you did. And you didn't.
Me too.
But that's because you were coming in spikes high on guys and they didn't want to hit you anymore.
Reflexes were good too. Yeah. I got out of the way of a lot of 95 in my face, in my head. And, you know, I told you guys, the only time I ever got hit in my head at all was my very last at-bat in my 21-year career.
It was a sign.
Yeah, that was it was definitely a sign. It was a call. It was like, I told you, God said, I told you to leave last night. Get out now. I got something else planned for you. See, Dad, I got out and went home. And, you know, before that, though, the phone call from Jennifer was like, just because you're getting your butt kicked, don't be coming home. You stay there and you stick it out. I got to live with you the rest of your life. And I went, honey, I'm coming home. I knew it was time.
Yeah.
But I took it upon myself for one more game, and when I got home, the phone rang, and it was the Angels saying, we want you to be our broadcaster. And I went, wow. So I had to get out. So there was the call.
Hud, I've never asked you this before. So you retire, and then you got asked to be a broadcaster. Did you ever have the itch to go back? Because we see in various things, whether it be like John Gruden who goes back to coaching, like, did you ever have the itch once you decided I'm done playing baseball where you're like, you know what? I could still maybe play 60 games for a team and help him out.
See, Dot, let me answer that.
Go ahead.
He still wants to go back today. It's the truth.
Well, really, she told me, Hud, you were done before you were done. You know, and a lot of teams would agree with that. But you know what? Realistically, at 38 years old, my speed was still good. I could run 4-0, maybe 4-1, 4-2 down in the line to first base. So I was running with the young kids. Yeah. It just took me so long. It took me an hour before the game and after the game to be able to compete with the young player. And so I believe that I could have been, with my skills and the fact that I had experience and could play different positions and add a little something and be a leader in the clubhouse, I believed I could have got another year or two. But when I told the Cleveland Indians at the time that I had to go home, it's time to retire, sorry I took up a spot on your roster here, I've got to go home, they said, well, we were going to bring you up, you know. And I said, man, it has nothing to do with service time. Because once you get 10 years in the majors,
you're good, you're gold.
You're it. Yeah. If you could do 15 or 20 and not get one dime over, oh, you know, 10 years. So, not about that, sir, but thank you for the opportunity. I got to go.
Hey, Hud, do you think you could, if they said, hey, Hud, hop in there in a spring training game, you think you put a bat on the ball still?
Oh, I could put a bat on the ball.
Yeah.
But how am I going to get to first?
that would be the thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so look, I stay in decent shape, but nothing like playing shape.
Yeah.
I remember how much fun that was, though, back in the day, being ready for spring training. And now it's so much easier. And, you know, we just got back from Los Angeles. We had Fox meetings out there and got to see Jeff Francoeur.
Is he working for the Braves now?
Yeah, he's at 75 games. And so Frenchie's, you know, big hug and everything. And it was so good to see him. And, you know, he has the personality. He has that kind of personality where he can get away with being a broadcaster and have fun. But he said, Hud, it's so much easier. There's no stress. And I go, yep, I'm glad you see that. Because playing ball, not only do you have to be in condition and be ready to go, you just have to be able to perform. And that there's a whole lot of a heaping of stress that goes on top of that. Broadcasting, still got to watch your mouth. Can't go on the air and say, wow, that looks like a planet. You know, that's pretty cool. You can't do that
stuff.
Well,
you did it, Hud. And
I know.
And kept your gig, though.
Guess who was waiting for me at the door when I got home at 11 at night?
Yeah.
Jennifer was like, you blank. You blankety blank.
That is not true.
Well, you said something unkind.
I don't think I did.
You said something unkind.
I probably said something, for sure.
I can't really blame you for that. One thing I did notice, and Fanning, I wish you were there. So we actually took batting practice at Kauffman.
Yeah.
Like back in February. And just, like, your athleticism still at your age. Just, he went in there. He took like five hacks.
Oh, Hud did?
And then it was just easy.
No.
It was like pull shot. Boom. You would pull it. It'd be like, oppo. Other way. Like, it was just so easy for him. And I'm just sitting there, like watching a former professional athlete, like, it took you maybe five swings, and then it was easy for you.
Well, you know, my mom, she used to call. I never forget those calls. And she goes, son, you'd be better off using a boat oar trying to hit that ball of balls you're swinging at. You know, and you're swinging at
was
balls.
Was she right?
She was.
Yeah.
And it was hard to hear that from mom. Mom, really? Look, would you like to try? Would you like to go in tomorrow and take a few at-bats and see how hard that is? But I swung at everything.
Yeah.
Right now,
my policy was, if you don't hack, they'll make you pack.
Right now, we're talking to Rex and Jennifer Hudler on the drive. So I was going to ask you about your son, because Hud, over the last like 18 months, every time I see him, he has a new story about your son playing baseball.
Yeah.
How is it like watching him play?
Yeah. Oh, it's exciting. It's very exciting. All the kids have really special gifts, because Will wants to play ball and he wants to go to that, you know, big league level and everything. As a parent, as a mom who sat in the stands and watched him from the time he was four, you know, it's like, wow, anything's possible. We believe anything's possible. And it makes you a little nervous and everything. But I know what it was like to sit in the stands and watch him for all those years. And I just know how hard it is, but we support him wholeheartedly. And his first step is college, and we're excited about that.
What's different in watching your husband play as opposed to watch your son kind of go through the exact same process?
Well, when Rex was playing, it was, is he going to make the team? You know, he was the 25th man. Are we going to be able to have insurance? And, you know, where are we going to live? And so there was a lot on the line. There were a lot of nerves for sure. But I always try to keep, you know, calm and tell him the same thing. He could do anything and he'll make it. And whether inside I believed it or not, you know, for him.
5 years Rex, in, C-Dot, you know, got 5 years in the big leagues.
Yeah.
Waking up in the middle of the night in a nice little 0-for-50 or something. I mean, I never went that bad. How about an 0-for-20? And I get up on the edge of the bed. I remember going, and then Jennifer, honey, what's wrong? I suck. What am I going to do? I got to get some hits. We're not going to have a job next year. And she would just rub me on the back. Hud, it's okay. It's all right. We're going to be fine. You'll get them tomorrow. But
and it was all right.
There's stress,
I believe,
man. There's stress involved with competition and players. And, you know, now on the broadcast side, I go in there and I see it. The last week of spring training, when I first started broadcasting, I wouldn't go near the clubhouse because I remember the stress level. Guys trying to make the team.
Got it.
They're on the bubble. They're waiting for the tap on the shoulder. They're real sensitive. You know.
Yeah.
So what helped me a lot is I was a 10-year minor leaguer. You know, I had no stability at home. I had no woman at home that loved me or for. And when I got married with Jennifer, no wonder I got 10 straight years in the majors. She never had spent a day in the minors.
Yeah.
So I had support. I was like, you know what? And one of it was, you know what? I can take care of myself. Now I got to play ball and take care of a nice woman who's used to nice things. And I looked at my bank account when we got married and went, oh, I got a couple months rent back there, man. Oh, I quickly looked ahead and said, Hud, you got to make it, man. Come on. You can, you can, you can. You will, you will, you will. And believe it, you have to have that mentality in order to be at the top and then to stay. To stay at that level when you're limited with skills, you got to have something else. And Jennifer's been a huge blessing in my life.
Hud, what kind of got you through that? Because, I mean, you've been around this long enough to know some guys go through that 0 for 20 or 0 for 25 stretch.
Mm.
They get sent down, and then they never come back up to the major league. What's got you through that to then stick for another 5 years?
You know what? One thing I couldn't stand with the options. If a player gets the 3 options.
Sure.
You know, you hear, oh, he's got options. That means they can send him back. But I used to go, I was on the shuttle from Columbus, Ohio to New York for like 3 years. And it just never ended. I kept calling my agent, going, I didn't know all the rules. I'm going, what's going on here? Am I going to do this the rest of my career? And I was getting old. I was getting towards the end in my late 20s. And I'm thinking, man, is this? So I know how Witt feels. Witt had a chip on his shoulder for the last few years. So have I. So did I. And so I used that chip to say, you know what? I got 10 years. I got not only a wife, I got future kids we're going to have that I got to make a living for right now. So when I got in that batter's box, I looked at that pitcher, I said, my family against yours, blank. Let's go. I'm winning.
But
I'm going to beat you.
I knew then that he had a great work ethic. He was determined. He was a great man and loved God and had so many positive things about him that if he didn't make it on the ball field, he would be successful no matter what he did.
Yeah.
So I didn't worry about it. And honestly, I didn't think, you know, after many years, I thought, you know, he's had injuries and things that would have been career ending also. And I didn't worry about what the future held. I knew, you know, God held us in his hands and that Rex was the kind of man that would be able to provide for his family no matter what.
And that really frees you up to be able to think that way, right? When you
it
know,
does.
Like, hey,
yes.
I know things are going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of us get caught up in day-to-day stuff and like, oh, my God, if that happens and I'm locked in on this. Deep breath, man. You know, if you take a deep breath and you have a little bit of confidence in yourself and you know what you can do and you have a work ethic, everything's going to be fine, right?
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, too, going to the ballpark every day.
Once
you knew, once you knew you were a commodity and you knew that you were a player, you were established, you weren't going anywhere, you know, that was fun. And to be able to go in that ballpark, man, and to look at the guy, look at the media. You walk by the media. Fellas, how we doing? How you look? Take the blinders off. I remember taking the blinders off, being appreciative of every day in the majors after 10 years in the minors.
Yeah.
And going in and not have the blinders on when, you know, and where you only look right straight ahead. You can't see what's to your left or to your right. And when I did that, it made a whole world of difference, and I performed better.
Yeah.
There was a confidence factor.
Sure.
And then when I wasn't in there, I would say, hey, let's go, guy who's driving the bus today. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, let's go. Well, you know, and kids, young players would have their head down, because I remember that stage, and they would go, they'd be going, you know, pouting. And I said, what's wrong? Is everybody in the family okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what are you all moping about? I'm getting beat. Oh, well, no kidding. You're getting beat. Well, welcome to the highest level in the world. You're not getting beat by a high school kid. You're getting beat by a big leaguer, dude, making millions of dollars. Shake yourself, and you're going to get beat again unless you get your dang head up. Let's go. We got action here. Come on. Get on board. Shake yourself.
How many of those guys listened to you, and how many didn't?
Well, the young ones did, because I'd grab them by their ears and pull them up. Let's go physical. I'd get physical with them if I had to. Look, they knew that. They're like, oh, okay. All right. We got it.
Right now, we're talking to Rex and Jennifer Hudler. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll give you a chance to win a prize in The Hud Is Right. But next, the story everybody wants to hear. How did you two meet? We'll talk about it next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 15 minutes. It is time for the Hud is Right. If you guys don't know how it plays, I randomly pick a stat from Rex Hudler's Pro Baseball Reference, and we play Price is Right with his stats, and you get a chance to win a prize. We are welcomed by the Hudlers, Jennifer Hudler and her husband, Hudler. How are you doing today?
Sweet. You guys included Jennifer. I'm fired up, man.
I mean,
so you guys hear me all summer, and so do the fans. I don't, Uncle, they're probably saying Uncle on Hud. Nah, Jennifer's here today.
I mean, it's kind of the thing at this point where, like, on Valentine's Day, if you said just you wanted to come, I don't think we would want you on. Yeah. You guys are a package
deal.
Part
of the deal, man.
I love it. Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you.
It's Valentine's Day. Everybody's in the mood for love.
Mm-hmm.
How did you guys meet?
Well, it was beginning of his baseball season. He was in AAA in Columbus, Ohio, and I was the music director for a hotel that was owned by the Yankees and somewhere in that mix, I'm not positive, but they held their first media banquet at our hotel, and I wore many hats that day. I was music director, being the disc jockey in the lounge.
You're a DJ.
I was a DJ. Yeah.
And I was in a nice suit, coat and tie with a couple of my buddies. We were having our Meet the Clippers banquet, you know, where one player sits at a table. You know, with 10 people and, you know, and Chamber of Commerce deal, that whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then.
But it hadn't started yet, so he and his buddies had come to the lounge.
Got it.
Well, happy hour. Come on.
Sure.
Yeah, you got the day
you
off.
Gotta get warmed up.
Night off.
Right, huh?
That's rare. Yeah. You don't get a night off.
So he totally tricked me with the suit.
My buddies and I, we were listening to some of the music that she was playing, and I wasn't real thrilled with it. So I said, hey, can you play us a little Huey Lewis?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know, it was early in the season, and I didn't have my eyes out to scope. I wasn't looking to scope or nothing. I went up to the DJ and said, "Hey, can you play me a Huey Lewis tune?" What was it?
Oh, the power of love.
Oh, wow. Hey, can you give me a little power of love? Yeah. And you know what? She was cute.
Yeah.
But like I said, I didn't have my horns up. My horns weren't up. And so I was not ready.
Yeah.
Go back, no problem. Dinner's over. Yeah. I walked out the door and she was at the door by then, but she had changed her clothes, so I didn't know I didn't recognize her.
Yeah.
I had a tuxedo on earlier, a little tuxedo,
and
then
classy.
I changed into a purple suit. And I guess I looked different.
And when you were managing the door?
And I was talking to the girls that were managing the door. And he came walking by, and I had told them about this guy that was in there. Well, he was really nice, you know, friendly, but he had red hair. So I didn't think, you know, I wasn't going to pursue that. Yeah. And he walked by, and the girls told me to stop him. And I guess I did.
She still won't admit it. I guess I did.
Yeah.
I never, ever since then, even before then, or any time after ever, had a woman go, excuse me, sir.
I did.
Hello. Hey.
Yeah.
But she said, hey.
I did not say that. But
what stopped me?
He says I stopped him. So.
Well, and I get out, you know, I get ready to go right out the door. And I look back and I go, oh, hi. Hey, look, I'm getting ready to go. But, you know, maybe, can I have your number? Maybe we'll go date.
So the horns went up.
They went up. The horns went up a little bit there because, you know, somebody's.
But
young,
I didn't give him my number.
Woman calls me back. I'm thinking, whoa. And that's when I looked at her and went, oh, wow. Hey, I wonder why she's calling me back.
Hold on, though. She says that you didn't get her number at this point. So when,
she didn't give it to me.
At some point, numbers got exchanged.
Myself,
what happened?
Oh, really? You called me back. You stopped me from going from leaving, and you're not going to give me your number? Okay, I know where you work. Can I call you here? She said.
So he did.
Yeah. So.
He tracked me down.
3 or 4 weeks,
solid move.
Whatever goes by.
You know, Jennifer's part. Solid move.
A lot of offers.
Got to chase a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. She wasn't a slump buster either. So look, it wasn't like so bad.
Well, what a compliment.
Yeah, I'm just going to let that go.
Was that on your Valentine's Day card?
Yeah.
Honey?
That's the slump
buster.
Yeah.
Love
that's,
you.
That's
nice.
The second kick I've gotten under the table now, fellas. Yeah. I've gotten two kicks so far.
Is this
today.
What I need to throw in the how about them Royals line?
Yes. No. Okay. Let's wait. We can get through this. But so look, then when I went out with her, she didn't know. And apparently she told me that she watched me get into my car and wanted to see what kind of car I drove.
I think he made that up, too. I don't remember
no,
that part.
That's false.
I do not remember that
you
part
You watched
either.
My car. You knew exactly what I drove. And so now we go to lunch together.
Yeah.
And she goes,
we went to lunch together, and when I saw your car, I was relieved. I was like, oh, okay.
A nice sports car. Guys drives a nice car.
You don't want him driving around in some beater.
Yeah, well,
right?
He's got a suit on. He drives a nice car. Okay, maybe.
You knew that he had a good job.
Right.
She's
maybe
thinking.
Right. He's
okay,
got a job.
So what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, I play for the Columbus Clippers. Thinking that
wah,
that was...
Wah.
thinking that that was going to be, you know,
he
like
didn't know he's a ball player.
That's going to be a hitch, you know, that's going to get us another date anyway.
Yeah.
She went, and I went, wow, sorry, I smelt my armpits.
No, you didn't do that either. Oh, my gosh.
What? I said, look.
Hunt is out here putting all kind of sauce on this
thing. No, I'm telling you. No, and she didn't believe that she said this, but this is exactly what she said. I go, why? What's the deal with that? She looked like she was visibly shaken. Yeah. I said, she goes, you guys are nothing but womanizers and drunkards.
Mm.
Yeah, now, there you go.
I actually believe that.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
I might have said that.
I believe that.
I might have said that.
So, what is Amanda do? I said, I'm one of the two. Guess which one I am.
Now that he didn't say.
Knowing Hunt, he definitely said that.
Knowing Hunt, he said that.
I wouldn't have gone out with him if he'd have said that.
So then I'm thinking, you know what? This is not a proposal date. This is just a, hey, I'd like to take you dancing. Let's have some fun. If you want to have a good time, I'll treat you right. I'll treat you like a lady. I'll take care of you. We'll have fun. Are we in?
She went, okay. I guess we were.
Yeah. And man, there was many days after that. I showed up at the ballpark with my knee was swollen from all the dancing we did.
Oh.
And I would go to the trainer's room, and they went, "Hud, what happened?" I go, last night, you know that play I made. I kind of had a little. Did little did they know that I was wearing it out on the carpet, man, out there on the dance floor, and it was a little bit, you know, tender.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't miss any action. But we had a lot of fun. We did. We dated for 4 years before I got smart and said, man, I better catch her before she gets caught.
So let me ask you this, because it sounds like Hud knew a little bit earlier than you. When did you know he was the one? Like, when did you know I want to marry this person?
Oh, you know what? That's a tough question.
She started laughing at first. That's not good.
Huh?
That's not good.
Sounds like she still might not be sure. She's sitting on the fence here.
She figured that out 18 months ago.
Yeah.
You know what? I knew he was the one, but I didn't know if I could deal with the lifestyle and being away from my family and everything. And I had been in love before, and so it was hard. It was a hard decision. But when he asked me to marry him, I knew I wanted to marry him. We just waited. We waited another year as I worked through things, and we were apart. It was hard being apart. It was really hard. But you know,
I prayed for a wife.
I knew when I walked down the aisle.
I asked God to help me find a wife because I was worried about my pick. And I came from a broken home, and I didn't want to have a broken relationship with my wife. And I knew he would see the future, and he was going to pick the right one. So when he lifted her up out of the four or five different girlfriends I had across the country, I went, really? I said, God,
I'm not bringing up my boyfriend.
How many did you have across the country, Jennifer?
10 or 20.
10 or 20?
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. So now it's my turn to kick your shin.
Yeah.
Wrong. No.
Okay. So he lifted her up, and I went, wow, God, you got great taste, man. She's a hottie, and plus she got a great heart. And he goes, yeah, good luck. It's up to you now. You catch her. That's who I picked for you. So I didn't have one ring in my engagement. And when I asked her for marrying me, I had two rings.
Mm-hmm.
I had two rings. One was a nice little carrot, a couple carrots. I don't know, whatever. I could afford that. And the other one I had to take a loan out for just in case I needed it. She didn't say, when I offered her the first ring, will you marry me? On a nice 45-foot yacht, boat, nice tall sails
out of
Key Biscayne, on the direction of Cal Ripken Jr. That was his suggestion.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So she didn't say nothing.
It had nothing to do with the ring.
Okay, but cold sweat started coming down my forehead. Cold sweat.
So wait a minute. You had a backup ring in your pocket.
I did.
In case this one wasn't good enough?
I guess. But I knew that, you know what, I wasn't sure.
One was white gold. One was yellow gold.
And the other one has a lot bigger
one
diamond
round,
on it.
One was round. One was oval.
Wait, if you don't like that one, how about this one? And I pulled it out of my pocket and showed it to her, and she laughed. I think she was cracked up I had another ring.
Yeah. Who does that?
I sure as hell didn't. I can promise you that.
Well, that's how much I wanted her, and that's how much I knew that, because God said, get her, go get her, Hud.
Yeah.
So I knew she was the one.
You wanted a backup
plan. So I didn't want to know.
Yeah.
And Cal Ripken, when he suggested that I rent a tall ship in Key Biscayne at sunset, take a bottle of champagne and everything out there, he goes, if she says no, throw her overboard. So I couldn't. I'm starting to think. Oh, I can't throw her overboard. What am I going to do?
You can give her a life jacket.
So that's where it all started.
Yeah. It was a beautiful start.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day, including Missouri has officially filed their appeal based on the sanctions handed down from the NCAA. We'll talk about that coming up at 5 o'clock. But, Hud, Oh, it's that time.
It's not right. Is it HUD is right?
We need four callers. 913-576-7610. We need four callers to play the HUD is right, which is my favorite game that we have. We need four callers. 913-576-7610. We'll do that next coming up.
It's wrong.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
It's time for the HUD is right. Featuring our own Rex Hudler.
In my 13 years as a big leaguer, I was able to hit a few homers by accident. I drove in a few runs, rarely, but I could steal a base or two, believe that. And 20 years later, I've got my own game show right here on 610. Call the cops. It's a beautiful thing.
Without further ado, here's your host of The HUD is Right, Carrington Harrison.
All right, The HUD is Right is a very fun game. We only play this when HUD is in studio. Mrs. Hudler, you can play yourself.
Okay.
So basically what we do is we go through HUD's baseball card, and we ask you a question based on his career. Price is Right style, as close as you can without going over. We'll then go down the phone line and we'll ask you. And then we go to the Showcase Showdown, where I have taken prices from last year at Kauffman Stadium. I will ask you, so one hot dog, one thing of peanuts, and then that's your Showcase Showdown. If you beat Rex Hudler, you win a prize. If you don't beat Rex Hudler, you don't win a prize. The game is very, very, very simple. HUD, are you ready to play the HUD is Right?
What a question, but my question is to the people, what's the prize?
Well, Brandon never has our prizes in order, so it's basically $25 figure it out later. That's what we always say.
Wow, I like that.
Hey, that'll work.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, what are you going to do later?
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, so we got free pizza to the other place. That's where it is. Free pizza to the other place. All right.
Okay.
You guys ready? In 1988, HUD is 27 years old. He plays in 77 games for the Montreal Expos. He has his highest number of stolen bases for the season. All right, 77 games. He's 27 years old. He's a little bit of a speedster. All right, we got Tony, Ben, Landon, and Justin, and then we'll go to Jennifer. We'll give you the last pick. All right, how many stolen bases did HUD have in 1988? This was the highest number he had in a season. Tony, you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, 60.
60 stolen bases. All right. You got this down for me, Finn?
Yep, 60.
I'm here. 60 in 77 games.
That's a lot of bad.
He should have been playing every day if that was the case. All right, Ben. HUD played in
14.
All right. 14.
Come on, Ben.
All right, Landon. HUD played in 77 games in 1988. He had his highest number of stolen bases. How many is that?
It's Brandon, but I've been called worse. So,
oh, my bad.
No, you're good. 31.
31.
Ooh, good one.
All right. Justin, you're last up. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to go with 22.
22. All right. Let me put you on hold here. Mrs. Hudler?
I have to get this right. You can't go over.
You cannot
over. You can't win if you go over.
No, you are eliminated.
Okay. I don't think it'd be fair if I won, so I'm going to say 31.
Okay. All right. Drum roll, please. Back in 1988, at age 27 in 77 games, Rex Hudler stole 29 bases. That means Justin with 22.
Ding, 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 ding. Was Tim Raines on that team with you?
Rock. Are you kidding me?
What, how many did he have?
One of the eight Hall of Famers I got to play with. He was fabulous.
Good question.
He was smooth.
All right.
He was Ricky Henderson in the National League. Are you kidding me?
He was fast.
He played a great left field. Alex Gordon played a better one this last season. I told the people. They believe it.
Mm. All right. Justin, stay on the line. You now go to our Showcase Showdown. Let's say that the Hudlers, you know what? HUD takes a night off and says, I want to take you to a game. Two nachos and two 16-ounce premium beers. How much would that cost you at Kauffman Stadium? You have two nachos, one for each of you, and two 16-ounce premium beers. How much does that cost you? And our Showcase Showdown, and the HUD is right. HUD, you go first.
I'm going to say that's $35.
All right, $35. Mrs. Hudler, what you got?
I'm going to say that's $38.
$38. You guys think the beer is very expensive.
You're talking,
I've never had one out
some
in the
kind
public
of giant
there.
Beer. Yeah. I don't know what
never
six
had one.
That is.
16-ounce premium beers? Yeah,
16-ounce premium beers. All right, where you at?
I got it at $38.
$38.
Yeah.
All right, Justin, if you beat HUD's $33.
I said $35.
$35, my apologies. You get a large pizza.
Is this still closest without going over?
Yep.
I'm going to go $35.
$35.
Isn't that what HUD said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, hold on, Justin. So you got to take a number different than 35.
Let's go 36.
$36. All of you went over.
Oh.
Really?
Good.
That is
happy
good.
For the
it's
people.
Reasonable.
Yeah. It's all about the people.
All of you.
I was thinking like $12 for a 16-ounce premium beer. So
that's
that gets you to 24.
That's got to whet your appetite to come to the game. Yeah. Not
what
to mention,
what, are the tacos?
What was it, C?
$26.50.
Wow.
Nice.
Get a bargain at the ballpark.
Folks, that bargain plus to come watch a track meet break out this summer,
oh, yeah.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
Speed kills. It's beautiful. I can't wait.
And that concludes.
We're done?
The HUD is right.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Ding, ding, ding,
hey,
ding,
Brandon,
ding.
Give Justin the pizza. He was a good speaker.
Justin, way to go, bud. That's fabulous.
Give him the pizza. HUD, how excited are you for baseball season to get back?
Oh, so excited. You know, you're talking about that. Glad we were all over because, you know, I haven't never had the opportunity to do that, and I hope I never do. But this fun to watch ball, the fans from my little perch there, Fox Sports Kansas City gives me there, and the Royals let me sit there. It was down close. You know, the fans are on top of us. They're below us. I get to see everything. I got everything in front of me. I see the fun the people have. You know, and you know the one gentleman that's retiring this year. I'm bummed. The runner, the guy who had the Kansas City runner. What was he? He promoted Jesus on his shirt. What'd they call him? What was his name?
The guy that runs around the ball.
Yeah, that runs.
Oh yeah,
I don't know. I'm gonna miss him. I heard that he's not there. I used to watch him. I used
to
watch him during Superman.
That's who he is.
Yeah, he's gonna be gone. That's okay. Well, hopefully another Superman will appear.
Yeah.
But it's just fun watching the people and to see how they're gonna react to a really fun product this year is gonna be a lot of fun.
I'm excited about this team, HUD. I can't wait to see Mondesi play. I think he's so much fun to watch. And I tell people this all the time. I think he's so much more fun to see in person than he is on television. No offense to your broadcast, but you see that guy go first to third or first to home, and watching that in person is ridiculous.
And especially from start to finish, if he can stay healthy, let's just keep our fingers crossed. Always health for all of our players. That would be great. They're going to have a lot of fun. People are going to go out there and say, well, let's see Patrick Mahomes on the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he is.
Yeah.
He has talent from both sides of the plate. The speed was off the charts. They say Hamilton, our new center fielder, is the fastest guy. Whoa, we are going to have a lot of fun watching these guys hit a gapper, get out there, and run the bases. But, you know, besides watching, the fans, what I really love was Family Fun Day Sundays.
Yeah.
So the Sundays were great. Family atmosphere there, the stuff they have in the outside part of the ballpark and over the outfield fences. You know, we see so many families having a good time, and whether it's winning or losing, they're being entertained by a good product. And I'll tell you, I can't wait.
I mean, the line for all those kids to run the bags after the game, too, on Sundays. I mean, how much fun is that?
It's sweet. Yeah. I always ask Rhino, could I go down there? No, HUD, because you would blow a hammy, you'd blow a calf muscle. Forget it. You're done. Stick a fork in you.
Jen, earlier you talked about HUD having to wind down after the game.
Right.
Which HUD is harder to wind down, after a win or after a loss?
Oh, you know, I don't know. That's a good question. It depends on what happened at the game, how bad the loss was.
Ah, I'm the same every night. Come on.
Oh, it takes a while to
wind down. I
don't
believe he's the same every night.
No, he's not.
You know,
he's not.
Averaging 2 runs a game last June, I felt like a lot of the Royals fans, sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
And with the one lead we had we couldn't hold, it was painful. But then the second half, see, that's washed away. The second half of the season was so much fun. To see them play, like they have potential. You know, they traded some of the big veteran guys, and the young guys said, okay, it's our team. Let's go.
Really did see a difference in the team after that, too, when the young guys really came in there. And Sal Perez was saying, he said yesterday, I believe, HUD, he told the Kansas City Star that he thinks Brad Keller's the number one starter on that team.
It's exciting. I noticed the quote after that, though, today was, hey, you know, it was not that. It was that direct. Somebody probably said, Salvi, please.
Yeah. Calm it down a little bit.
There's going to be a lot of potential. I love the two closers we just got. You got a righty and lefty. Boxberger and the lefty we just picked up yesterday. Fantastic. Veteran guys. Both guys got 7 years in. That's huge. You want experience. You got to have some of that. That's why Dayton last year wanted to make our team more compatible or more competitive by bringing in Duda, Jay, and signing Moose. He knew that the league is tough. That you can't win with all young players. So good learning experience for all of us last year, but the fans are happy moving in this year. If we can be at 500, I think that's a huge step. And in this division, it's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
We're all everybody's rebuilding. Cleveland's not as strong as they used to be, so we all know how baseball goes. Let's come out and have fun and really look forward to seeing some good entertainment that night.
Mrs. Hudler, before we get you out of here, I want to give you as much time as you need to plug Team Up for Down Syndrome.
Aw, thanks, CDOT. Team Up for Down Syndrome is very close to our hearts. We continue to raise awareness and funds for the Down Syndrome community and others with unique abilities. We support a lot of different organizations. And this year, Team Up for Down Syndrome will be honoring Reagan Schur with the YMCA Challenger Program. They do a fantastic job, and we're so excited to partner with them. We're so excited to partner with 610 Sports Radio, and the event is on September 30th. It's special day at the K. We love the Royals. The Royals are our presenting sponsor. They support Team Up for Down Syndrome and our vision of supporting the community through housing, health research, job training, family counseling, and other worthwhile causes that might be helping some classroom with computers or helping to build a ball field. And we encourage individuals and organizations to solicit funds from Team Up for Down Syndrome. We love hearing from people, so you can call on us for support, and we'll guide you to different agencies within the Kansas City area. And also, we just want to have you out at the ballpark September 30th. Have fun. It'll be a great day, so it'll be up on the Royals website soon how they can get tickets, but in the meantime they can always contact us for sponsorships. And so we have a big picnic that day, a couple of hours before the game, and we
great
have
auction items the Royals give us, man. Yeah. Last year we had Salvi's gear. I mean, you know, they're really supportive of
us. One of my really good friends bought a Danny Duffy jersey out there, signed Danny Duffy.
Oh,
Duffy
sweet.
Jersey. Awesome. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, we've got great items. So we hope people will look into coming. It'll be up on our website soon with all the details, and that's at teamupfordownsyndrome.org. So thank you for allowing me to plug it.
No, no problem at
and
all.
And you'll be there.
I will be there, absolutely.
You'll be there.
Fanning will be there.
And I hope you'll be there,
year.
Too.
Yep. Everybody will be there.
Guys, thank you for this opportunity to spend an hour on your great drive show here this afternoon, the drive. And you know, my bruises in my shin, they'll recover.
you know, it was supposed to be a love show, but we'll see how it goes on the ride home.
Yeah, that drive home's going to be
pretty
you might
honest.
Get an earful,
you know, I get in trouble for being honest. I told you at the beginning, being up front and honest was one of the keys to a long relationship.
Yeah.
We'll see how that chin heals now.
Yeah. Hud, I know that you're a praying man. I would start right now. Like, literally right now, I would just go ahead and start the praying.
Slump buster?
See, you're about to get yourself in trouble.
Already.
That was Rex Hudler. That was
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on
today. See you guys.
Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, including Missouri has officially filed their appeal based on the NCAA sanctions. We'll talk about that coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.